Today I'm going to be speaking on do these five things. If you do these five things, you're going to see blessing in your life. Who wants blessing? Well, half of the people raised their hand. Okay, listen, those who didn't raise your hand, I'll take the blessing, okay? Okay, so let's try it. Who wants blessing? Hey, okay, that's much better. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I just ask for your anointing, your blessing over your word today. May your word pierce our hearts and bring cleansing and renewal and change. May we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you would do a new work in each one of us. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord God, would be pleasing to you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. In today's Torah parsha, or today's Torah portion, we read the following. And if you have your scriptures with me, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting at verse 12. Well, you can see up above me. Everyone see above me? That scripture. Turn to that scripture right there. Deuteronomy 10, starting at verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all of your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors, and he loved them. And he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. You know, I've got neck problems, and I always have a stiff neck. Maybe I need to circumcise my heart a little bit more to get rid of some of that stiff neck that I have. Y'all pray for me, okay? For the Lord your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and those awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down in Egypt were 70 in all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. In the Torah, Moses called and empowered by God, led the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt through a series of miraculous signs and wonders. Remember how they passed through the Red Sea and stood on the border of the land that the Lord God promised them himself. But they faltered. They feared. They failed. And they lost faith. So they sent a spy from each of the 12 tribes to check out the land that God was promising them and telling them to go and possess. And by the way, that pretty much establishes unequivocally the Jewish people's title to the land of Israel. But they didn't do it like we don't do it. They didn't go and possess it like we don't possess it. And they lacked faith like we lacked faith. So they sent the 12 spies out, and 10 of them came back with a frightening, faithless report. Only Caleb and Joshua came back with an encouraging and faithful report. But guess whose advice the people followed? Did they follow that faithful report from Joshua and Caleb? No. They followed the frightening, faithless report of the 10 frightened ones. For their faithless choice, they were to wander around in the desert for 40 years until they all died off except for these two faithful spies. Even Moses and Aaron would not be able to enter into the land. Only Joshua and Caleb were to enter. But now they're on the verge of crossing over the Jordan River and taking possession of that land that God promised to them that would be flowing with milk and honey. But first, God wanted Moses to make known to them very clearly the things he wanted them to do and the things that he didn't want them to do. So we read how Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days and communed with God without any food or water. I remember when Irene and I were beginning our relationship. Seemed like 100 years ago. But it was a long time ago. And I was trying to hear from God about this relationship, what God wanted me to do. Should I pursue this relationship or should I end the relationship? We had people who were opposed to this relationship because I was Jewish and she was not. Wanted to break up this relationship. So I went up to the mountain. Now, it wasn't for 40 days and 40 nights. I tell you with all honesty, I cannot do without food and water for 40 days and 40 nights. But I went up to the mountain and I heard from God. And just like Moses came down a different man, I came down a changed man. God had touched me when I was up on the mountain. So it says here that he came down and he had with him 2 tablets of stone in his arms that God had written these words with his own finger. Can you imagine that? God with his own finger writing those 10 commandments. Wow. These were God's divine will for his people. And what did Moses find the people doing when he came down from the mountain? Were they having a prayer meeting? Were they all sitting on the ground, laying down, praising the Lord? Reading the scriptures? Nope, there wasn't any yet. Okay. No. There was this molten calf. Okay, what's going on back there? Okay. This molten calf. And he was so angry that he took these 2 tablets and he threw them to the ground. And they smashed into gazillions of pieces. The words that God wrote with his own hand. And that day, because of their sin, many people died. God sent a plague. And many died. And also the ground opened up and swallowed them. Wow. But you know, God is a God of second chances. And third chances. And fourth chances. And I thank God that he's a God of multitude of chances for my own sin. Things I've done. Yes, Lord. Thank you. So God had Moses go up a second time on the mountain. And God wrote a second set of tablets for the people. But why did God do this? God was preparing them, getting them ready to enter the promised land. Because Moses was not going to be with them. Nope, Aaron was gone. So from this point on in Deuteronomy, Moses shares with them what God's will is for them, what God's instruction is for them. He shares God's covenant with them. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9, carefully follow the terms of this covenant so that you may prosper in everything that you do. And I believe the Lord tells you the same thing and me the same thing here, that we carefully follow all the terms of God's covenant. And we see it all in his word so that we may all prosper in all the things that we do. Again, I believe this promise is us for us today. If you want to prosper, if you want to walk as a believer and be blessed, follow the terms of the covenant with God. Then Moses continued in Deuteronomy 29, verse 12, these words. You are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day, and sealing with an oath to confirm you this day as his people, that he may be your God, as he promised you, and as he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And I am making this covenant with its oath, not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord, but also with those who are not yet here today. Now, initially, this word here where it says, who are not yet here today, is referring to the future generations yet to come as they would enter into the land of promise. Those future generations, that covenant would persist, that God would want them to be obedient to his commandments so that they would be blessed in the land and prosper in the land. However, we can take this, all of us here, we can take this to heart for our own lives as believers in Messiah Yeshua, and trust that when he says those who are not yet here today, that we are included in that today. We are included in those covenant promises as well, as we have accepted Yeshua as our Messiah, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. The whole new covenant, the Brit Chadashah, is based on the birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Yeshua, the Messiah. Based on all that covenant, we can walk in those promises as well. And the Lord desires to enter into a covenant relationship with each and every one of us and bless us beyond all that we could ever imagine or expect. And the covenant we enter in today is called the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant of Scripture. Some say the New Testament, where we don't need any longer to sacrifice the animals that Moses had commanded the people to sacrifice, because Yeshua was that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As we read in John chapter 1, verse 29, as Yochanan HaMavil, John the immerser, he saw Yeshua coming. In John 1:29, he said, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Thank you, Lord. You know, the instructions for sacrifice have been all fulfilled in Yeshua. But God's will is the same forever. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, there are some people who want to update the Bible. Yes, there are people who want to. They want to add to it. And they want to take away from it. But let me tell you, he never changes. He's the same. And those who do it at their own peril. I tell you what. God hates sin today the same as he hated sin yesterday, and the same that he will hate sin tomorrow. And if you want God's blessings today, he asks the same of you that he did for the children of Israel. Today I want to tell you what God asked of you. If you do these five things, it says here, do these five things, be assured God will pour out his blessings on you. And I'm taking these five things from this portion of Scripture right above my pointed little head. Okay? Okay. Sounded like an eagle. Praise the Lord. First of all, numero uno, number one, fear him. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 10:12, which is part of this, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God?" You know, per definition, fear of the Lord generally refers to a specific sense of respect or awe and submission to God. Or to a deity. While fear of God suggests apprehension of divine punishment. There's a difference between fear of the Lord and fear of God. Fear of the Lord, we are in awe of him. We respect him. We honor him. We bless him. But fear of God is because of sin and the punishment that we receive because of it. Jewish philosopher and Torah scholar Maimonides spoke of fear of the Lord as a feeling of human insignificance derived from contemplation of God's great and wonderful actions and his creations. So we need to understand again that there is a difference between being afraid of God and fearing of the Lord. One is inspired by sin, the other is inspired by love. Which do you think God would prefer? Inspired by love. Thank you, Lord. Who can't help but respect and be in awe of God when you see and think about his great and wonderful creation and the wonderful, loving things that God has done? You know, we all need to spend time with God. And let me tell you, I'm not someone superhuman. I struggle with that, spending time with the Lord. There are so many things that occupy our lives today, especially if you work full-time job and then you have come home and you have family. And then, like for myself, not only do I have full-time job and a family, but also I then have to prepare the teachings and do all the things for the synagogue and everything involved. I don't have time sometimes, it seems like. But I've got to make the time. I've got to make the time and put God first. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." If you will be still, you will know God. Thank you, Lord. But you have to make it happen. We have to make it happen. We have to discipline ourselves to be still and wait on the Lord. If we don't, the busyness of life will come and steal our time away. But if we will discipline ourselves to make time for God, he will come in that still, small way that he has of doing things. Only the spiritually sensitive will hear the voice of God. But he's speaking. God is speaking. He is communicating with us in two ways, through creation and through the Ruach HaKodesh, his Holy Spirit. So we need to open our ears to the voice of God. And when you do that, you'll hear God speaking to you. And then the Lord asks something else of you. And this is the second point taken from the scripture. He asks that you walk in his ways, that you listen. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "What does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him?" Now, we have to walk it out in obedience. Today, you hear a lot of people claiming that they don't have to obey the Lord. In fact, they say it's impossible to obey the Lord. You know, Peter wrote about people like that. He said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 17 through 20, 2 Peter 2, 17 through 20, "These people are springs without water, mists driven by storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing the Lord and Savior Yeshua, the Messiah, and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they will be worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. And let me tell you, I've known people like that who were once freed and delivered, and they let all the things of the world come in and rob them of that, and they're worse than they were at the very beginning in the midst of debauchery and sin and what else. The writer of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 9 wrote, "And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who believe in him." Eternal salvation is for all who obey. Salvation is for those who fear the Lord. The same can be said for being filled with Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, Peter said, we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit is witness to these things, whom God has given to those who obey him. He works in the hearts of sinners, convicting them of sin. He works in the rebellious, calling them home. He gently knocks on the heart's door of the wayward child, but he only comes in when he's invited. He has to be invited to come. He only leads the obedient. The greater blessings are only for the obedient, not for the sinners, not for the disobedient. The greater blessings are for the obedient. The power of God is reserved for those who do his will. The Lord asks you to fear or reverence him. He asks you to walk in his ways. But then there's a third thing now. He asks you to love him. Anybody love the Lord? I didn't see a lot of hands there. Everybody love the Lord? Okay. We need to understand that love is a choice. We choose to love. You know, modern culture has us believe that we can be swept off our feet by love. That we don't have any choice who or what we love. They would convince us that our passions control us. But that's not so. Joshua had showed me a video a while back. What was the guy's name? Jesse Peterson? Is that his name? Jesse Lee Peterson. And he went to Los Angeles and they were having their annual gay parade. And we were watching it and it was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And he was just asking different people, straight out, why do you do this? You know, explain to me, why are you gay? Or why are you a lesbian? Why are you here for this parade? And all these things. It was just unbelievable to hear the words. Because, some of the things they were saying, well, we can love anybody we want to love. Love is free. Love is a gift for everybody, whoever you want to love. And it was just crazy watching this kind of stuff. They would try to convince us that our passions control us. That this is our freedom of choice, but this is not the way God has it to be. We have the power to choose to love. We can give in to our passions or we can let them control us and go along on a tidal wave of emotion and sin, but we'll be unstable in all of our ways. God said that we are to be in control of our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says, "Guard your heart diligently, for from it flows the springs of life," from the heart. God says we are to control our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says we are to take every thought captive and make it obedient to the Messiah. Mm. I remember a couple years or so ago, when I was struggling through some things, I went through some deliverance in my life, and this is one of the scriptures that was spoken to me. We can take our thoughts captive. We are to take every thought captive and make obedient to Messiah. In other words, every time you think of something you shouldn't be thinking, every time a thought comes to your mind that's not of God, you need to take that thought captive. You have to grab that thought and turn around. You need to make it obedient to Messiah, your thoughts to be obedient to Him. We are to take every thought captive and make it obedient to the Messiah. Most importantly, we are to choose to love Him. Remember, number three was He asked us to love us. We have to choose to love God. We are to love Him first and love Him most. This is the greatest commandment in the Bible. We recited it earlier. Remember the V'ahavta that we read from Deuteronomy 6:5. Love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. We need to choose to love God. And God asks this of you. And this is the fourth thing. God asks of you to serve Him with all of your heart and all of your soul. And do we serve God with all of our heart and all of our soul? Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "But now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, God tells us that He has given us gifts and He's given us talents. He tells us why He has given them to us, to build up and to equip our brothers and sisters in the body of the Messiah. But let me ask you this question. Are you serving the Lord? Are you serving the Lord? And if so, are you putting all your heart and soul into it? That's a tough question. Are you serving the Lord? I'm not asking anyone to jump up and answer me. Are you serving the Lord? And are you doing it with all of your heart, your soul, all of your strength? Or are you just doing the bare minimums? Let's do better at serving the Lord. Let's put all of our heart and strength into it. And number five, the last item. God asks us to do what He says. He asks us to observe or keep all His commands and decrees. Do what He says. Observe and keep all His commands and decrees. Again, in Deuteronomy 10, verse 11 to 12. Again, it says, "What does the Lord your God ask you but to fear the Lord your God? Walk in obedience to Him, to love Him, to serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands I'm giving you today for your own good." Notice that there is a difference between walking in obedience and observing His commands and decrees. There's a difference. A person can obey like a robot. That's funny. We went to the Donald Trump rally on Tuesday. Anybody else there? Okay. Irene and Josh, Catherine, myself, we're at the Donald Trump rally. And he was talking about doing things like a robot. And he started walking around like a robot. Anybody see it? They showed it on TV, too. You know, a person can obey like a robot. A person can follow a list of do's and don'ts without any passion and any feeling. But God wants a loving relationship with us. He wants us to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that touch our thoughts and touch our intents. It has to do with what our motives are. What are your motives? Just don't be a robot. What are your motives toward God? We are to walk in obedience, but more than that, we have to observe His commands and decrees. Why? Because it's for our own good. God has your good in mind. That's why He tells us to do this or to do that, because He loves us. God loves us. He wants to take care of us. God wants to protect us. God wants to guard us. God wants to lead us and guide us. He wants us to do those things that He said so that there will be blessing in our lives. God desires us to be blessed. You know, some people think that there's a God up in heaven who watches mankind, and when someone makes a mistake, He takes His giant thumb and squashes it. That's what some people think. But that's not true. God desires wonderful things for you and I. So the Lord is asking us to do those five things I mentioned today. Why? For our own good. God wants us to be blessed. He has given us everything that we need to prosper. He has given everything we need to prosper. So let's do these things that God asks of us. And if we do, if you do, let me assure you that the blessings are going to come. Blessings and blessings and blessings. So many blessings that you're going to be struggling to hold on to them. They're going to just be overflowing out of your life. That's what I want. I'm blessing. I want blessing. You know, so many of us have struggled. We've allowed various sins in our lives to conquer us. We wonder why we don't have the blessings, because we haven't been obedient to God and loved Him with all of our strength and served Him with all of our heart. But aren't you tired already? Aren't you tired of all the junk, all the bad stuff? Don't you want good stuff now? Don't you want the blessings to come? Then if you do those things that I mentioned, you will see the blessings of God. Amen. Father.